Well, I believe it's preaching time, and so we got Brother Stephen Aldridge with us today, and so Brother Aldridge, you come on. He is the, I don't know if it's called the associate or the assistant pastor at First Baptist Church of Conestee, and it's our honor to have him with us today. Hope you'll give him your undivided attention, and brother, just let her rip.
Amen. Yes, sir. Thank you, preacher. Love you, Brother Jarvis. Amen. Good to be in the Lord's house today, isn't it? And so good to get to come together again. And I know you're like me. This is heartbreaking that we didn't get to have this meeting last year. And to be here, we love Welcome Baptist Church and love this meeting and getting to come together for some days. I like what Brother Jarvis said. What a great way to start the meeting. I think he said, anybody got no bad spirit, have they? You know, that's a great way to start a Monday meeting, and everybody was pointing at their spouse. Praise God. Thank you for not getting in no fights in service. That was a blessing. And appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I like what Brother Jarvis said. You talk about the year, don't know what to believe or not know what to think. And I'm like him. I'm not mad at nobody for what they think. Most of us was half crazy before last year got here. So amen right there. And but I'm just thankful that I get to be here today and be in this meeting. And I'll be the first. I need some help from the Lord, but I know what I need, and I know who has it, and that's a real good path for getting some help. Amen. Psalm number 3 is where my heart has been really since about Saturday morning. And you come to a meeting like this, you look at different things and pray about it, and you really just want to give what the Lord gives you, and want to be a help and be a blessing. And there'll be a lot of needs will come through these doors over the next today and tomorrow, and a lot of different churches and ministries represented. And but I'm glad that I serve the one that can just start, pick a place, and he can help every single one of us. Ain't that amazing? I mean, if it was on Brother Jarvis, Brother Jarvis is a talented man. Somebody say amen right there. Miss Kelly, say amen right there. But if it was on Brother Jarvis to help all of us, he'd do his best, but we'd leave disappointed. And if it was on any of us preachers, if it was up to us just to help everybody and to fill that need, I mean, our heart is to do that, but I know that we can. But I'm glad that I'm serving one that can do it. Amen. It's not too big for him. Amen. It's not too... He's not sitting up in heaven worried. You know, I got all these preachers and churches together and they need some help. I don't know if I'm going to... No, he's not one bit worried about that. Amen. I'm grateful for that. Psalm number 3 be our text. And I want to just try to give you what's on my heart. Psalm number 3, very familiar passage. You know it. And I'm sure could even quote it, sing it. The Bible said in verse number 1, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? And I don't think I really... notice this until earlier today that there's not a question mark behind that, but an exclamation. He's making a statement almost that he's amazed by that. How are they increased? How are they growing that trouble me? And then he said, many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. There's no help for him. And then in verse number 3, David continues, and he said, but thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. And then he said, I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Now then he wraps this up, this psalm up, and summarizes our statement that we're going to get to. The Bible said in verse 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. It is his. It's his. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. And then I believe for the third time he says, Selah. Father, I love you. Thank you for the privilege it is, God, just to be in your house again today. And we're thankful for that. Thankful for the privilege to preach and God to be able to give our heart. And Lord, it's not in me. But Lord, I know it's in you. And I pray that you'd help us. God, I pray that we would approach the meeting this year like we all wished you had last year when we didn't get to come. God, I pray that we would honor you. May we worship you in spirit and in truth. God, I pray that you'd help our vision and our heart, God, to get vertical, get our eyes on you. And we'll thank you for that. God, I pray you'd help Brother Jarvis and God, the people here at Welcome. They have labored. God, they have given, they are serving, God, while we're here. And Lord, I pray that supernaturally, God, that you would fill their spirit, put fresh wind in their sails. And God, I pray that you would reward them. Not that you don't owe us a thing, but God, we're just asking you for your help again. Thank you again for being good to us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us now to get out that which you put in my heart, that you've worked in. And we'll thank you for it. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And amen. I love looking back, and there's probably so much more that really could be given, but I love looking back at that psalm and trying to look at where we believe that David would be or the writer would be as he would begin to pen a psalm. Looking at Psalm number 3, when David pens the psalm, this is not a peaceful time in David's life. Brother Joy, David is not relaxing on the throne. He's not enjoying a good time. But the further you walk through this, you find out that there is a load of difficulty that David's dealing with. And that's the amazing thing about God. God doesn't just give songs in the great times. God doesn't just give songs in the good times, but God gives songs or psalms even in the most difficult times of our life. I'm glad that I don't serve a God that leads me when things go tough. Somebody say amen right there. I'm glad that God is not like people in my life and your life and other things that come and go. But that's not our God. But he is one that does not leave us in the difficulty. God knows where I'm at. God knows where you are. And God is not going. When he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, he meant it. Amen, that's right. And he holds his word above his very own name. God is going to keep his word. So where is he at? David in the text. David is really, his world has been turned upside down. If you look in the text or walk through, you find that David is dealing with the rebellion of Absalom. This is the hardship that he has, knowing that he's going to have to deal with his own son. And the young people here today, I'm telling you, you have the ability either to be the biggest heartbreak or to be the biggest blessing to your mom and daddy. I was talking to my daddy, and I won't get into details right now, but daddy's in the hospital, been there for several days and dealing with different things. And but I told daddy, I said, daddy, I love you. I'm praying that God's helping you there. Couldn't be in church yesterday and different things. And I said, daddy, God being good to me. God's helping me. But what a blessing it was to have that communion. What a great thing to say to daddy, I'm heading over to preach. I sure need you to pray for me. And daddy said, I better get off here so I can pray for you. I said, praise God. And but what a blessing that is. And young people, you can be a blessing to your mom and daddy, and you can be a blessing to your church, or if you're not careful, then you can be the biggest heartbreak to your church as well. And so I say, praise God, just stay with Jesus. It's been worth every mile. I promise you, if you stay with God, live for Jesus, you'll get, I'm not saying it'll all be easy and a bed of rope, but I promise you this, you can pillow your head at night with the joy of God, of serving Jesus and living for God. And that is far better than anything the world ever will conjure up. Can I just take time out and say, I got no regrets for giving my heart to Jesus. Got saved at 14 years old, and God called me to preach at 4. I don't regret one bit getting to live for God. I'm telling you, the best life you'll ever live. I know, there, preachers, there's heartaches and there's difficulties, but the best life you'll live, it's not living for the world or living for self, but the best life you'll live is getting to live for King Jesus. Amen. You're not coming to a meeting this week. We're coming in all bound up by, oh, we don't feel sorry for us because we got to live for God and sorry that we got to go. Oh, no, friend, we don't have to go to church. We get to go to church. We don't have to be in meeting this week. We get to come to meeting. We don't have to sing in the choir. We get to sing in the choir. Oh, we don't have to be around the things of God. We get to be around the things of God. I'm telling you, God has been good to us. And here David is, and he's dealing with one who has rebelled and broken his daddy's heart. And then I find that David's been betrayed by Ahithophel. He's learning the frailty of people. I don't know this the depths as many of you would, no doubt, but Brother Paul, that you're not going to serve God long without somewhere finding out that the best of people are still just people. And you can put confidence in man and people, but it ain't going to take long. They are going to somewhere. They are going to let you down. And here David is. He is having to watch some of those who has been some of his closest comrades. And now they're not just walking away from him. But Brother Jarvis, they're changing sides. It's one thing if this crowd pulls away and they say we're done and we're walking away, and that's heartbreaking enough. But in this text, you'll find it's not just those that are walking away, but they're jumping on the other side, and now they're becoming an enemy. Once again, there is the frailty of God's people, and if you're not careful, buddy, bitterness can set in, and you'll get mad at people, and you'll get bitter at people, and if you're not careful, you'll stop ministering to people. But the fact of it is, somebody's going to walk away. Somebody's going to turn on you. Somebody's going to do you wrong. And it's in those days, just remember that you're still getting a whole lot more than you deserved. You deserve to be in hell. You deserved a broken home. You deserved a busted life. You didn't deserve to mount that pulpit. You don't deserve to get to go to that church. You don't deserve the Christian home God's gave you. And raise your hand toward heaven and say, they might do me wrong, but thank God Jesus never has. David's watching this thing unfold, and he's just seeing the side. I believe that David knows his hardest day is still ahead, because he knows, Brother Whopper, that he is still somewhere. He has got to deal with Absalom. And so the problems continue to mount up upon David. Now, with that being said, let's get back in our psalm. Verse number 1, what does David say in response to that? Many writers believe that this is the following morning after he's gathered those loyal believers or those loyal men, and they've crossed over the brook. And when he gets up the next morning, many writers believe he penned this. I don't know that. But in verse number 1, notice what he said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? That's not a question. He's not saying, how can they be against me? He is just amazed at all of those who are coming against him. He is amazed that that number keeps mounting up as what's against him. When I look in verse number 1, I find that David is looking at the enemy. When my vision gets right here, I'm going to be honest with you, it ain't going to be long. Discouragement's going to set in. Say, I ain't never been discouraged. Praise God, I'm sitting down and you're preaching for the next 5 hours. Can I get a witness right there? When I get looking here, I will find something to get discouraged about. And here David is, and he's saying, Lord, look at all these that are coming against me. But may I remind you, preacher, may I remind you, pastor's wife, child of God, and if you're not careful, when we get our eyes on the largeness of those against us, usually I'm forgetting about those who are still with us. Your heart may get broken by a preacher that walks away. There might be a preacher boy that does this wrong, or a young preacher, but every one of them don't do you wrong. Amen. In other words, there might be some who come against you, but every one of them don't come against you. Say amen right there. And if we're not careful, sometimes I get that tunnel vision about what is against us, and I forget about there's still some grandmas and grandpas that's still serving God. There's still some young people coming along that's got a heart for God. And if you're not careful, we'll look at the many and we'll forget about the few. You see, that's what the world's mentality is. The world doesn't think the church is important because we're not that big of a group. But may I remind you, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. We may be outnumbered numerically by the world, but we're not in the minority when you're with Jesus. Amen. So here he is. He's looking and his eyes are on them. Remember, here he is. How are they increased that trouble me? And then he said, many are they that rise against me. I see the number. Keep going with me. Notice in verse number 2, that verse number 2, not only is he looking at the enemy, but in verse number 2, now he is listening to the enemy. Somebody help me now. It's one thing to look at who's against us. It's another thing to listen at who's against us. There have been some days, no doubt in the past year and a half, it'd be good if we could just turn our ears off. Can I get a witness right there? I mean, just quit listening with our ears and begin listening with our heart. There's an assumption, man. Now notice what they're saying. This is not the people of God. This are those who are against him. Look at what they say in verse number 2. Many there be which say of my soul. Here's what they've said about him. There is no help for him in God. Look at the wording. The wording, are you ready? There's probably a group back there, and here's what they're doing. They're saying, yep, he made the mess. Let him lie in his mess. There is a group that really would look at David in such a spiritual mindset, and they got everything figured out and nothing's ever gone wrong in their world. And they would look at him and they say, well, he got himself here. Let him get himself out. Can I tell you this? I've never been in anything I could get myself out of. I don't know about y'all, Brother Joe, but when I was young, I had a black belt in making messes. I'm going to swear, just bear with me now. I mean, buddy, you talk about could make a bona fide mess. I mean, my mama, she's proud. I don't know what it was, but I'm just telling you, I could make a mess, but I was not good at fixing my own messes. You just got to get good and honest today that sometimes we look and we say, well, the reason I'm doing this and the reason this good is happening is because I'm them. But no, the fact of the matter is you can't save yourself from yourself. Every one of us will be bankrupt tonight. Every one of us will be in a mess this afternoon were it not for the good grace of God Almighty. You didn't choose right. God helped you choose right. And so here's what they're saying. It's amazing how those who are against God, they automatically become the experts on the people of God. It's amazing. Can I just say this for Welcome Baptist Church? Isn't it amazing that everybody that lives around here that never attends the church probably could fix everything going on at Welcome Baptist Church? Isn't that amazing? So here's what the enemy says. We've got it figured out. Not only will God not help him, but here's what they're saying. They're saying that God cannot help him. Amen. And there have been many said the same thing about us. And you'll do that if you're looking down here. But there have been times you say, preacher, I don't know why I'm standing here. I don't know why I made it through. It wasn't because of how good you are. It's because of how good God is. Amen. Amen. Verse number 1, verse 2, he's looking at the enemy. He's listening to the enemy. But then I get to verse number 3, and now this psalm begins to change gears. I love that. You're listening, and it's bad. Do you notice this? Let me say this a minute. David spends more time writing his psalms, and especially this psalm. He puts more attention on what God is doing for him than on what God's not doing for him. Amen. Let me just park it. Sometimes we spend too much time on what we don't have and what God's not doing. We miss what God is doing. Amen. Oh, help me, Lord. Hallelujah. I got to hurt. Look at verse number 3. In verse number 3, now things begin to change. In verse number 3, David begins being reminded, though I see the largeness of the enemy. He comes to verse number 3, and in verse number 3, it begins off with the words of hope, but thou. Wait a minute. So I've seen them. That word, but, meaning this, that there is a change in direction. I like it when God changes directions. It was headed in one way, but God stepped in. It was headed for trouble. But somewhere there was a but where God stepped in.
How many of you have those kind of moments in the last 18 months where it's going in one direction and the devil said it's going in this direction and the world said it'll never get here, but somewhere between all those things there was a God Almighty that stepped into your world. There was a God that remembered where your house was. There's a God that remembered where your church was. There was a God that showed up in your car, and yet God had a "but thou, oh Lord" moment. But thou, meaning that the self-existing one, Jehovah, he sees the enemy, he sees the problem, he sees the need, and he steps back for a moment and he says, "Lord, if I can just get my heart, my mind on you, there are some things I realize. I realize it was God that got me to here, and if I go any further, it'll be God that carries me through next year." This ain't real deep. I wrote down a little note underneath that verse in my little notes here, and I put, "We made it in 2020, praise God. Amen, you made it. Hallelujah. You made it. I don't know if you came through whistling Dixie or gargling peanut. I don't know. But praise God, somehow, look at where you are. You're not busted up. Hey, you're not out of the ministry. But somehow God brought you to another year. You say, "Preacher, how do I know that God can take care of me next year?" I'll tell you how you know. Because God took care of you last year. Amen. And listen, he didn't bring you this far just to bring you this far. Somebody help me now. I'm trying to get where we're going. He didn't bring you through what he's brought you through. Just say, "Well, good luck now." Oh no, friend. Amen. Notice this. What he was dealing with got smaller the more his eyes got higher.
Yes, amen.
"Many there be against me, but yet somehow, but thou." And when he gets his eyes on here, it's amazingly, he never mentions the enemy again until he's mentioning God overcoming them. I don't have any doubt, Brother Wampler, we can probably get up here and every one of us preachers and pastors and those in the church and faith. I'm telling you, we could get up here and we could tag team about the enemy and the difficulty. There's no doubt you came up. You may be going back home, but you're up against it. But the fact of the matter is, what you're going through is not bigger than the one who saved you. The reason you got in is still bigger than the reason you want to get out of. And by the good grace of God, you brought me to this point, and I know you won't fail me now. Brought us this far. Notice many mentions him again. "But thou, O Lord, are a shield for me." Protection, meaning that the shield is used for protection in battle. It represented what stood between the enemy and the one who's doing the fighting. He said, "Lord, I'm glad that you are standing in between me and what's against me." And by the way, he's so big, if I'm looking right, if I got my heart right, I won't even see the enemy because my eyes will be on him. I'm Brother Jarvis. Lord knows my heart. I love preaching to young people. I love preaching youth camps and youth meetings. What I love. Oh, and I'm telling you, it ain't going about every youth message I preach. I want to let them know that our God is bigger than their superheroes. Our God's bigger than the sports stars. Our God's bigger than the devil. Our God's bigger than the politicians. Our God's bigger than what they're coming up against. God, give us a generation of young people who know and see just how big God is. God, give us a generation of preachers that realize how big God is. Give us a generation of believers that see just how big our God is.
Yes, sir.
Notice, he's a shield for me. Let me move on. Heard it. And then he said this, "He is my glory." He is. Notice this, the word glory, not talking about how great he is. The word glory is talking about his crown. He realizes the reason he's in this position is not because he didn't win an election. Or not win an election. I ain't going there. Brother, what he's saying is, Lord, you're my shield, and you are my glory. You are the reason that I'm not just David, I'm King David. I went nothing but a shepherd boy, And Lord, you reached down and took a shepherd boy. Amen. 2 Samuel 23. You reached down and you took a little shepherd keeping sheep. And you took me from here and you set me up here. Here's what David's saying. I know that if you can take me from there and put me here, then there's nowhere over there you can't take me to or through. How big is it? How big? How big was it when God saved you? Whoa, hallelujah, Lord. How big was it when God delivered you from the clutches of sin? How big was it when you got transformed? How big was it when God made you a new creature? How big was it when you passed from death unto life? How big was it when you went from being on the outside to being on the inside? And David says, the only reason I'm here is because you took me from there and you planted me here. Can I say this, child of God, that the reason God can take you through is because of where God brought you from. Say, Bridget, it's against me today. Well, it probably is. If you're living for God, and you come to a meeting like this, and you hang around this kind of crowd, you probably got something against you. If it ain't nothing but your mother-in-law, can I get a witness right there? Amen. How do I know? Well, did God save you? Did God change you? Did God bring you safe thus far? Oh, yes, He did. Notice there's his position. Then I notice his posture. Look what he said in verse, once again, in verse number 4, or verse number 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. Are you ready? I know what here's David. David's saying that I got so low, I couldn't pick my head up to see out. Brother John, not excusing sin, not excusing wrong. Most of the time when you read this account, we always bring up David's past and what he did wrong. But somewhere in the middle of all of this, God reaches down. And when God, the only one who could condemn him, didn't condemn him. And God reaches down and he says, okay, I'm going to lift your head up. I got so low that I didn't, you ever been so low that you didn't want to face anybody? Amen. We don't always go into church whistling, amen. We don't always go in high-fiving. Sometimes, amen. Y'all help me right here. I remember when I first started pastoring, I'd see folks dragging in on Wednesday nights. I'd get some, bless God, we getting to go, what's wrong with y'all? I mean, I can't believe you didn't come in, shake hands with the bishops. I mean, just, I can't believe you come in, sire, and all that kind of stuff. I know, help me, Lord. He's a forgiving God. Somebody help me right there. Amen. One day the Holy Ghost spoke my heart, Brother Buster, is what he said. Might have been the Holy Ghost, it might have been Brother Buster, I don't know. My heart said, wait a minute, buddy. For the last 12 hours or so, you've been in your study. And you've been drinking coffee. And you've been in your Bible. And you've been listening to good godly songs. Come on now. And you ain't, I even kept your mother-in-law, babe. I mean, amen. But these folks here, they've been out fighting the world. And they've been fighting the devil. And they've been fighting ungodly boss men. Come on now. And the Holy Ghost said, hey, why don't you jump on my team and let's see if we can't lift our head a little bit. You ever go to church, didn't feel like you could sing in the choir? Didn't feel like you could go to your Sunday school class? Wait a minute now. You ever felt like you can't get in that pulpit? But yet somewhere between here and there, somewhere in that pew, somewhere in that class, somewhere in that pulpit, there was a hammer in another world that reached down, lifted up your head, and let you still serve God. Yes, sir. His position, his posture. Amen. Notice his prayer. Now, God's working in his heart. And now he tells us about the praying that he does. I'm hurrying. In verse number 4, he said, I cried unto the Lord. It's a good thing to do, isn't it? Called desperately. I believe David's signifying his praying audibly. He's calling out to God to call desperately to meet with, to request a meeting. Amen. And here's what he's saying. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Here it is. You ready? Does the Bible say he answered me? Bible doesn't say he fixed it. Yeah. Bible doesn't say that everything got better. Yeah. Brother Jimmy just says this, I cried and he heard me. Yeah. David got a hold of the fact of who he was talking to. It didn't matter about those who turned away. It didn't matter about those who one time was his ally. It didn't matter about where Absalom was. Oh no! At this time, David said, somehow I got along with God. I called audibly. I requested a meeting with God. And yet the God of heaven heard me.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, I don't have to have the answer. It ain't got to be a bed of roses. It ain't got to be a mountaintop. But just to know somewhere between here and there, there's a God who hears our prayers.
David's not praying everything's going well. He's praying everything turned upside down. He says, I cried. And God, really, this ain't deep. It's enough to know that he knows. It's just, don't nobody else know. You carrying burdens that nobody knows about. I'm carrying burdens nobody knows about. You got big things that can't nobody guess. That's all right. It's enough to know he knows. Dear preacher's wife, it's enough to know that he knows. It's okay. He knows all about it. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not. If I was Brother Sam, I'd sing in a lick. I can't sing like Brother Sam can sing. Notice his posture, his prayer. And then notice this. Let me give you this. Verse 5, 6, and 7. David points out some things we probably most of the time we take for granted. Is that not being what the Holy Ghost has been trying to, I believe, work in his people? Don't take it for granted. In just a little bit, we're gonna get to see it, Lord willing. We get to see it. We're gonna get to listen to Brother Buster. Somebody told me, said, Brother, don't mess it up so bad, Brother Buster can't fix it. I said, pray, thank you for words of encouragement. God bless you. I'll meet you at the banana pudding, it'll get better. And Brother Buster, I don't want to take it for granted. No, sir. We're getting to be in meeting together.
Amen.
You know what, God? Brother Jarvis, been one of the greatest. It's been one of the best years of youth camp I've ever been in my entire. It's been wonderful. Amen. You know what happened? God took some kids who had taken youth camp for granted for years because they always got to go.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, when they couldn't go, God got to working in their heart,
yeah.
And them young folks responded. I bet I'd go to every pastor in here and you say, boy, God's done some special things at our church, and it started with us not taking for granted. Lord, I don't want to take for granted that we're here.
Amen.
Don't take it for granted. Ready? Here it is. Verse number 5. Here's what he says. Laid me down and slept. Now, what did David do when God helped him? He didn't pick up his sword. He didn't grab his shield. He didn't go to battle. He didn't call anything. He didn't boast of himself. What did he do? He laid down and he slept. God gave him something that nobody can give you but God. Rest. I'm going to tell you something did happen when we didn't get to come last year. You know what happened, Brother Jarvis? And I'm still young now. Turned 40. None of my young people, I'm 140. Just add 100 to whatever you are once you get over 25, I guess. I guess that's how young people's minds work. Can I say this? What we deal with, what you deal with, what you're going, it'll take your sleep away. It's amazing how the physical affects the spiritual. And the mental, right? Affects your spirit. And David says, I'm going to tell you what I did. When God touched my heart, I found me a little low place. And I rested in God. Can I just say, Lord, with everything assailing us, with a country that has no idea what's going on, with a country that's trying to find answers in every place but God, and in a world where there's more questions than answers, I'm glad the child of God can find him a little place somewhere. What are you doing? I'm resting in God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And I said, I laid me down and I slept. Why? For the Lord sustained me. He's even letting us know that the laying down and the rising back up is not even His responsibility. The Lord's the one that lays me down, and the Lord's the one that gets me back up. Brother Wampler, he said sustain, meaning that word to refresh and revive. Verse number 6, let me stop here. I'm glad I serve a God that can refresh and revive. Anybody need any refreshing this week? Anybody need any revive? You're in the right place. You came in and said, man, I didn't come in the best shape. Thank you for coming. You're in the best place you can be. I said, preacher, I'm not there. I came in doing pretty good this year. Pray for the others. Amen. Amen. Verse number 6, I find a different man. In verse 6, he said, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. Now, wait a minute now. He started off looking at the largeness of them. The circumstance hadn't changed. The problem hadn't changed. But now as David looks back and he says, hey, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Why? Because he's not looking at them. He's looking at him. Preacher, did you ever preach somewhere and you looked out and said, boy, that's an intimidating crowd to preach to right there. You'd have paid for an amen, but you'd have played double for a smile from somebody. Oh, yeah. Come on now. David says, what did God did for him, what God's trying to do for us. Paul said it this way, for God hath not given us spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Remember, ready? Verse 7, verse 8, I'm done. Verse 7, what is God doing? All right? Verse 7, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten, it didn't say mine enemies, thou hast smitten all my enemies. You notice how David just keeps funneling the glory back to God. I didn't do it. I didn't slay Goliath. I didn't do it. No. I didn't overcome Saul. He said, Lord, you have dealt with, you have handled all of my enemies. And one thing, Lord, they're against me now. God, I've got proof and I've got confidence that you'll take care of it again. And all I got to do is just turn and just look back at what you've done. Amen. We hear that so much, but is that not the truth? Brother Wampler, to know can God, all I got to do is just turn and look back at what God's done. Verse 8, and I'm through. Notice, verse 8, ready? Here's how he sums it up. Here says, this is what I've learned. This is what God gave me. As he's penning this psalm, this is one thing I learned. Salvation, deliverance. First word that you'll find coming up in Strong's of salvation, deliverance, or to come to an aid, or to give relief. And here's what he says in verse number 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Salvation, delivering. David said, okay, I'll tell you what God did for me. He let me know that delivering and changing and overcoming is God's work. I'm working hard. I believe you ought to be busy. Be busy for God. Be faithful. Do the work of God. Keep doing what God said to do until God says different. But the fact of it is, David said, I realize there are some things that are not going to change until God says it's time to change it and overcome it. Deliverance is God's business. Lord, just help me to be faithful while I'm waiting and watching you work. Here's what he said. He closed out by saying, thy blessings upon my people. Delivering is the Lord's business. Trusting him is my business. It's what's on my heart, Brother Jarvis. I'm about done. Listen, I don't know where you are. I don't know what's against you. I hope it's not. I pray you came in. But it seems like every time you overcome, there's more to come against. Is that right? Bristol, you travel a lot. Is that not what? We overcome, and then something else comes again. We overcome, and then in the life of a church, in the seasonings of a church, we overcome, and it comes again. And God just reminds us that I am who I've always been. I'm faithful. I'm right. I'm pure. I'm holy. Remember what David said? He said he's in his holy hill. Meaning that whole time I'm running and battling and trying,
has not changed one bit who God is. David says, all right, salvation belongs unto the Lord. Lord, help me trust you with what you're doing. Help me get my vision vertical of the God that I'm serving. Father, I love you. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for giving a burden and helping me deliver it. Lord, I want to thank you. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know tomorrow. But I can stand here today and say, Lord, thank you for where you've brought me to and what you brought me through. It's you and your work, and I just want to thank you. Help me trust you. Help me to be faithful about your business and your work. Thank you for being good to us. God, may this be a couple of days of overcoming and deliverance and help so I can go back at it. Because if you don't help us, we're done for. God, I'm asking for mercy. Not because we deserve it, but because of who you are. Help now. In your name I do pray. Amen. Brother Jarvis is coming, and you just mind the Lord.